Hello again and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Coffin and Deep. I'm your host, Jeremy Lopez, and what I want to talk to you about today is basically attracting the attractive. You know, I woke up this morning thinking to myself, instantly God says, do you want to attract attractive things? And I said, well, Lord, that doesn't sound real spiritual. You know, when we're dealing with the word attractive, you know, what are you talking about? And God said, because things in my kingdom that are part of my perfect will for your life are attractive. So in other words, the things in your natural world and natural existence that you begin to view and ponder and look upon, you begin to find things that are attractive. And the word attractive doesn't always mean just attractive as far as, you know, the person you're attractive to. No, attraction or attractive basically means the things that you're drawn to, the things that you find are comfortable or strong or, you know, well-fitting and within your life, and they become attractive to you. You're drawn by the attraction of the attractiveness of that situation or that person or that substance. And so when we're talking about attraction or attracting the attractive, we're dealing with the fact of what is it in your heart you're desiring. There's a lot of desires embedded within your heart that you need to begin to acknowledge. You know, I remember the other day thinking about the fact of what actually is in my heart, God. And God began to show me, God says, you need to tell me, but first you need to acknowledge it to yourself. You need to come to the place where you are acknowledging what is attractive or what is the desires that are embedded within your heart. Because see, a lot of times, most people have no clue actually what they do desire. And the problem is we attract things that we don't desire every day by what we consider autopilot, only because of the fact we don't make it known. Even the Bible mentions about, you know, coming before the Father, coming before the throne of grace, you know, making yourself, appear before Him in the sense of coming before His presence boldly, you know, making your petition made known. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that we can intertwine together, but basically, it's very well known, you know, that, you know, come before my presence, you know, with this, you know, even when dealing with singing, come before my presence with singing, you know, come before my presence and, you know, with your prayers, you know, and your petitions, and, you know, come before my presence boldly. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures there that we can read and we can, you know, put it in paraphrasing in the sense of realizing that basically you can come before His presence. But the thing is, when you come before Him in His presence, you need to be able to find that place of boldness to present what you are praying for, present what you are desiring. You know, you don't go before God and say, if it be thy will, and God says, if what be thy will? And what do? You usually turn around and you say, if this be your will. You know, we learn that, you know, in so many denominational moves and non-denominational moves growing up, and we always say, if it be thy will, God. And then some things in God's word we know are His will, and other things we don't know. So we say, God, if it's your will, then make it known to us. What exactly are we saying? We're bringing forth a substance. We're bringing forth something of a definition to God to say, you know, if it be your will. God says, if what be my will? Lord, if I have this in my life, or I have that in my life, or if you want me to move here, or if you want me to go here. And what are you doing? You're presenting a petition of a reality of something you've thought of within your spirit, your consciousness. So therefore what? God makes it very plain. Don't come before my presence with nothing. Enter into my gates with what? Thanksgiving. See? Guess what? There's a substance there. Enter into my courts with thanksgiving, and enter into my courts with praise. Enter into my gates what? With thanksgiving. Enter into my courts with praise. What is it? There's praise and there's thanksgiving there. So you don't enter into the gates, you don't enter into the courts without substance, which is what? A reality of an offering of praise, an offering of thanksgiving, an offering of worship. So see, anytime you come before God, make sure you have a definition or a substance or an idea of something that you are trying to create, but you want to make sure it is part of the will of God. So we're dealing with attracting the attractive. Correct? So let's look at that for a moment. Let's understand, there's an old saying that says, whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. Whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. Which means what? If your mind can conceive the idea as a seed form of something you're desiring or something you're wanting, that means you can achieve it. There's nothing that pops into your brain you can't achieve. And think of it this way, whether it be positive or negative, good or evil, it doesn't matter. Anything that comes to your mind, God is showing you, you can achieve it if it's something of His will in the sense of something positive. But basically, anything you think of, you can accomplish, no matter what it is. Let's put it bluntly. Even if it's something outside of God's will, if it's something in His will, out of His will, something demonic, look, anything in the universe that pops into your mind is bidding you, begging you, wanting to stir up your creative ability. Are you with me? So see, we're talking about the reality of the universe here. We're talking about anything and everything that pops into your mind. Guess what? If you can If it's in your mind, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. So if you can conceive an idea that basically is a seed form that comes into your consciousness, that basically is an opening, an avenue of a picture or graphic or substance of something in a verbal form, picture form, whatever form, you are putting structure to that. Listen to me now, folks. You're putting structure. You're putting dimensions. You're putting borders. You're putting measurements to that thing. Your mind sees that way. Your mind sees in borders, measurements. Why? Because it's wanting to create. Your mind instantly comes and grabs things within a seed form, and once it starts conceiving that thing, it begins to put structure to it. Why? Because of the fact it wants to birth it forth. Your mind doesn't care if it's positive or negative. Your mind could care less if it's godly or evil. Your mind doesn't care. Your mind just says, feed me. And the moment you feed it something, it's going to begin to create it because it knows the ability is resident. Listen to me now. It understands the ability is resident already inside of you to create and to build and be able to have exactly what it is you are creating in the process of that. So therefore, if you can conceive it, folks, you can achieve it. Now, let's get into God's will for a moment. We're dealing with attractive. So are things evil attractive? Absolutely not. Now, we're talking, of course, really the reality of the outcome of the things of the kingdom of God here, all right? So, because we know sin can be attractive for a season. We get that. We understand you reap what you sow. We get the fact that you can sin and it lasts for a short season. And after that, you pay for it. And you find out it's not attractive. Do you not? But in the sense of being attractive, we're dealing with a desire from the heart of God, okay? We're dealing with the sincerity, the authenticity of something that is attractive. So attracting the attractive means, what is it in your heart that you're desiring? What is it that is within inside of your spirit, inside of your consciousness, inside of the depths of who you are as your being? Now you might say, I don't know these terminologies you're saying. You're using the word being, you're using the word reality, consciousness. What do you mean when you say these things? Let me explain this to you. When I say what comes from the inside of your being, what does that mean? That means, let me put it to you in more general terms, what comes from the inside of you. And the reason why I use the word being is because being is a present tense form. It's a present tense form that basically speaks of your now reality of what you want, you're desiring. The reason why I put it that way is because when I say, what is it that you want? The you can represent a past, a present, or a future. It all depends on where you're living. You're with me. Hear me out for a moment. When I say, what is it you desire? You can also represent the past, present, or future, which means I don't know the you in which you're living. I don't know the time frame in which you are living. But if I say your beingness, I'm talking about your now moment. And you might say, well, what's the difference? I'm glad you asked. Because when I say you, that means if you have deceived yourself, listen very closely. A lot of us are this way in the body of Christ and even outside of the body. Those who live and are trapped in the past, if I say or use the term or the word you, guess what? If you're deceived by some past delusion, then you have no clue actually what is in your present moment, what is supposed to be in your focus. You have no clue what is the reality that stands before you. Did you know that? What do you think deception is? Deception is when you deceive yourself from something that truly is not really the reality of truth within your life. So therefore, if I say, how are you doing today? What do most people say? Well, I've been sick recently, or, you know, I went through this yesterday, or, you know, I'm just horrible because of, and they bring up something what that usually happens an hour ago, 5 hours ago, 3 days ago. Now, once again, this has nothing to do with name and claim it. We are mature sons of God, past and name and claim it, you know, blab it and grab it, are we not? But we're reaching out to the reality of the kingdom of God in this now moment. It's what I call kingdom now reality. Kingdom now reality. Kingdom now mentality. You know, I remember back in the day there was a kingdom now theology. Let me tell you something. Kingdom now theology is basically saying it's the kingdom now. Well, guess what, folks? I'm kingdom now theology. I'm kingdom now reality. I'm kingdom now, because it's like kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you're wanting to live into the kingdom realm of God, you need to wake up and realize that when I say what is in your beingness, what is in your being, I'm talking about updating you to live in this now moment, not what happened yesterday. And see, so many people live in that reality of yesterday, do they not? Oh, I don't know what to do. You know, yesterday was horrible. And what they'll do is, because because they don't know. Now, hear me out real closely. Because they don't know how to live in the reality of this present I am moment, they get confused with pulling in the past and pulling it into the present. And so, therefore, they really don't know that it's something that they're thinking is past reality and not the reality of this now moment. They have no clue because they've deceived themselves. So you've got to know your time frame. You've got to know what is attractive to you in the now moment, which means what is it that you're desiring now? What is the change you're wanting to see right now happen? Not what happened yesterday, you know, but what is happening right now. You need to center yourself. See, here's another terminology we don't like to use in the body of Christ, do we? Center yourself. What does that mean? That sounds new age. Centering yourself. When I say center yourself, it means what? You know, the Bible talks about that the tree of life was in the center of the garden. Hello. In the center of the garden. Which means it's not in a past. It's not in a future. It's in the now. Put it to you another way. I remember reading the scriptures where it talks about Jesus, you know, on the cross. And on the left hand, on the right hand were thieves. Well, the past represents thieves. And the future represents thieves. There's thieves and robbers to the left of you. And there's thieves and robbers to the right of you. Which basically means this, that a thief of the past will keep you there because it keeps you in a place of a delusion and a confusion and a frustration because it's not reality, it's not real, and it doesn't stand, nor can it actually live or survive in the now moment of you lining up in the I am of God. Hello. And the future. Hey, the future. It's great to have hope in a bright future. That's what God wants us to have. But there's a difference between knowing in the reality of your faith that God is going to give you, grant you, bless you with a hope in a bright future. But in order to prepare for that future, you can't live there. Preparation starts in the now moment, to where when you're constantly living in the present now reality of the I am of God, that means you're automatically producing in this now moment, to where when you get in your 5-year plan or your 1 year from now or your 1 month from now, or you get into your tomorrowness, so to say, if you're still living in the now moment of the reality of the I am of God, learning to be and not become, then guess what? Your future will automatically be set because you're already preparing it by living in this the reality of the now moment. Now you might say, well, that's a lot of terminology for me to remember. It's very easy, very simple. Let's break it down this way. Attracting the attractive. You want, what is it that you are attracting, and what is it that is attractive to you right now? I'm not talking about yesterday, so don't sit here and think, oh, I'm always, you know, pulling into myself poverty. You know, if life could be any better, you know, I don't know what I would do because I'm always attracting this or that. We're dealing with the fact, folks, of not caring about your past. I don't care about what happened yesterday, nor do I a year ago. What I care about is what God is concerned with, and that is God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Spirit and in truth. Spirit is a now reality. Spirit is a present tense form. There's nothing in the spirit that deals with the past. There's nothing in the spirit that deals with the future. Spirit is one big eternal now. So everything from Adam till now till my great-grandkids are actually going to happen in the exact same time. Now that's going to blow your mind, I know. We won't type on that at the moment. If you want to know more about that, you can get my book, The Power of the Eternal Now. But the past, the present, the future all happens right now. And it's constantly happening now in the spirit realm. Therefore, God is the ever-present help in time of trouble. He is the present, not futuristic, not past, the present. He's a present God, a now God, and I am God. So therefore, what are you attracting into your life? What you're attracting in this now moment is learning how to be centered. What is being centered? It's when the tree of the life is in the center of the garden, or Jesus is in between the two, to where the thieves of yesterday and tomorrow is not robbing from you. And therefore, you can truly focus on what it is you want to attract into your life. In other words, what is attractive to you right now from what you know you need by the will of God? There you go. What is attractive to you right now? What is attractive to you will always be from the perfect will of God for you. Did you realize that? Whatever God wants me to have in my life that is attractive will that's part of His perfect will automatically be attractive to me. So, attracting the attractive. What is attractive to you? What is your heart, and what is the desire of your heart speaking and wanting to burst forth and say, this is what I'm needing, this is what I'm longing for, whether it's body, soul, or spirit, folks, what is it? Only you know yourself. Know thyself is a great statement. Do you truly know thyself? Do you know that you are centered, that you've let go of the past and you now know what is attractive to you? Do you now know not what you want to be in the future, not what you're trying to achieve in the future, not what you're wanting to be, because that may never happen. And you never can truly say, what is it I'm trying to be? No, it's what is it I'm trying to become. Why? Because it's trying to become represents the future. So what are you trying to be? You're not trying to be something. You are that right now. So what is you? What are you being? Are you with me? What is it right now that your body, your soul, and your spirit is speaking out and prophesying to the atmosphere, because you've centered yourself to live in this now moment, live in the I am, realign within the will of God to say, I'm alert, I'm alive, I'm receptive, I'm centered in the fact that right now I am in Christ. At this present moment, I am already viewing, not from some futuristic terminology, not from some futuristic point of view, not from what used to be. You know, the worst thing you can ever do to yourself is say to yourself, well, I'm trying to be something, you know, right now. I'm trying to fight to become this and this and this. And I once about to say, why are you trying to become something? Why are you fighting to become something? You don't have to fight to become something. You actually fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? Fight the good fight of faith. The only thing you fight is a good fight of faith. The good fight of faith represents what? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance. There we go again. There's that word, substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, that sounds futuristic to me, Jeremy. It does, absolutely. But let's go on and read it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you can't see, the evidence of things not seen, which means it's there right now in spirit form, in the now moment, in the I am-ness of who God is living in you. The problem is with it, you don't see it because you don't find it attractive. Are you with me? Because you're not seeing the attractiveness of the will of God living, moving, and wanting to present itself to you in a gift form in your now moment of the beingness of who you are. Why? Well, why can't I have that, Jeremy? Why can't I see that? What is wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. Here's what you have to do. You have to awaken to the realignment to know that I am that I am. You have to awaken to the realignment to know I am in my being form right now. I've got to let go of the past, let go of the future, and realize, oh wow, there is something very attractive and right before me. And it comes from me knowing thyself, knowing that I am right now alive, right now I am awake, right now I'm receptive, because I'm already getting a download. I'm not waiting to get a download from God. I'm already getting a download. Folks, you're constantly getting a download from God all the time. So you said, well, the broadcast was named Attracting the Attractive. Exactly. What is attractive to you right now? When you open your eyes, the Bible says, open their eyes, God, that they may see. What is it that when the guy was blind and Jesus spit on the dirt and the mud and mix it together and put it upon the man's eyes, and he said, when the guy opened his eyes after Jesus prayed for him the first time, he said, what? I see men walking as trees. Why? Because he saw into the spirit realm, because we're trees of righteousness. He didn't see into the natural. He saw into the spiritual realm. The spirit realm shows us as trees of righteousness. Who you really are in spirit is in a tree form. Not looking like a tree, but it represents the representation of a tree, because you're rooted, you're grounded, you're bearing fruit, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. So guess what? Spirit realm says you're a tree. So Jesus had to pray for him again. And when he did, then he began to shift from the spirit into the natural. And so first, when he was prayed for, he saw men walking as trees, the spirit. Secondly, he was prayed for again, and then he began to see men walking around naturally. So what he began to realize was the attractiveness was what he saw really the first time. And that was, I see in the spirit, men walking as trees. What was attractive to him? Seeing the spirit. Was it a futuristic form? No. He saw it right then, right now, as he was being prayed for. So in other words, you have to learn to have an eye to see and an ear to hear, to open up and realize that right now, you've got to look at what lies before you now. What is attractive to you right now? And you might say, well, I don't really know what is attractive to me right now, Jeremy. I don't know. You've got to pull from the depths of your heart. You know why you don't know what your desire is and what is attractive to you? Because you don't know yourself and you don't know the uniqueness. And you might say, well, it's not about knowing myself, it's about knowing God, knowing God. Let me tell you something. There is a failure and a grave damage to, and hear me out for a moment, okay, to know God without knowing yourself. And there's also a grave damage that we say all around the body of Christ, and that is to know yourself and not know God. So guess what? Both are severe damages. So many people have denied and neglected their own self, their own humanistic ways, in the sense of being a human. We're not talking about flesh. There's a big difference between being a human and flesh. In fact, the word human means hue. Hue actually represents color. But did you know another terminology not only represents colors, which represents the fullness of the colors? In other words, you are whole and complete because you're full of all the colors. Hue is the colors, and which represents the wholeness. But there's another word in Aramaic that actually represents the divine, the divinity. So hue represents the divine, and colors are the fullness of the colors of the spectrum. So therefore, you are spirit, you're divine, you're full, of all the flavors and the colors of God, to see the attractiveness of the fullness of everything God has and God is, which means you are part God, part man. Hello. You know, I remember watching all these sci-fi movies, and you hear, you know, so-and-so's a demigod. Guess what, folks? Let's face reality. In reality, we're demigods, in the sense of, I've got God's DNA in me. I've got the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I am part God. So to be human means I have to be my reality of I am man, but I'm also part God. So therefore, because, you know, I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Just for those crazy folk that, you know, get on the sacred cow issue, you know, that might think, you know, you're a heretic, you got to throw that in there to him, to let him know you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're one with him. If I'm one with him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're demigods. We're half God, we're half man, just like Jesus. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. So therefore, guess what? I said all that to say this. There's an attractiveness in you that you've got to know yourself. There's an attractiveness in you that you've got to pull from the unique character and flavor of who you are. And guess what? It's not something that you're going to say, oh, I don't care about that. All I care about is worshiping God, being in the presence of God. Then if you don't, then you're dysfunctional, because you have to be able to understand you've got to love who you are and the uniqueness of the creation of who the Creator created you to be. If you don't love the creation that God loved enough to create, something's wrong with you. So you have to learn to love the creation that the Creator created for you, his own creation. Are you with me? And when you do that, then you begin to understand there's a balance in the system of the universe. That is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, energy, everything you are, you love God. But you also have to learn to love your neighbor. Hello, there's the creation of the Creator. Learn to love your neighbor. Oh, check this out. As you love yourself. So guess what? You have to learn to love yourself, know your desire, know what is you're attractive to, and what's attractive to you according to the will of God for you and plan for your life. That way you can begin to attract it. The power of attraction comes from the law of attraction. It comes from the fact and the aspect of what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, what your attraction, your magnetism is going to begin to pull what is attractive to you. So what is attraction to you is going to pull into the equation of what you feel God wants you to have. So start attracting, folks. Use your magnetism of your spirit and begin to attract what it is you're looking for that is attractive to you. Well, I don't know what's attractive, because you don't know your own desire. You know, let me give you a great example before we close in this broadcast. I know I'm giving you a lot here, but I want you to begin to ponder on this broadcast. How do I know what's attractive to me? Very easy. The Bible says that which is first is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. It's something, it's in 1 Corinthians. That which is first is natural, and afterwards that which is spirit. What does that mean? It means, let's say you're walking around your natural form like we are every day. You're walking around, and let's say, for example, you see this really, really hot girl. You see this really, really hot guy. You're looking around, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, she is gorgeous. I mean, she's like the perfection of what I've been wanting. Or you see this guy, and you're like, wow, he is just gorgeous. He's what I've been wanting. You look at the situation, you know, whether you're male or female, whatever, and you're looking at the situation, and you automatically realize what you've picked up in the now moment. Listen to me now. You just come across somebody, wow, they're gorgeous. And that now moment, the attraction inside of you recognizes what is attractive. Are you with me? The attraction in you begins to pull to you your eyes to what is attractive to you, to your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. Your soul just got electrocuted with energy. And your soul began to say, now that is awesomely gorgeous. That is beautiful. Why? Because the attraction in you finally lines up and it pulls from your eyes and your soul to say, this person is attractive. Why? Because you're living in the now moment. And when you live, now feel, now do this for a moment. This is a good example and a good practice for you. If you remember ever doing that, whether it was your wife or your husband or whatever, and let's say, for example, you remember that feeling of, wow, I remember the moment. Moment's a present tense word. I remember the moment in a twinkle of an eye. I remember the moment I laid eyes on her. I remember the moment I laid eyes on him. My butterflies were in my stomach, and man, I just felt like I had to have that person. I had to marry that person. I had to date that person. Because you finally, you're with me now, check this out. You finally aligned in the now moment. When you align in the now moment, you will feel more alive. You will feel as if the world just stood still than you've ever felt before. You need to pull into your life's practices. Pull into your life the practice of living in the now. Remember what that was like. Pull something that is attractive to you. I'm talking spirit here, folks, okay? So don't get all crazy on me. What is attractive to you? What is your desire? And pull that out of you in the now moment to say, God, according to your will, so be it. According to your word, so be it. Father, I see this. This is what I'm wanting. I'm attracting this into my life because I find it attractive. It is part of your perfect will. It is awesome. It is beautiful. I see the details of it. I know that's what you want for me in my life. And so all of a sudden, guess what? When you align in this now moment, you begin to feel that. You begin to know it. You begin to know the reality of that presence beginning to draw it into your life. You're going to feel alive, folks. And you're going to pull into your life exactly what it is that you know you want and you need according to what God wants for your life. Now, does all that sum it up for you? That's the icing on the cake for you, folks. So, attracting the attractive means it's time for you to begin to, A, find out the I am-ness and live in it, which is the now moment. It's not something to find in the sense of looking around throughout a time period. No, or a time sequence. You've got to be able to wake up to it now and open your eyes and realize, Father, right now, I am in you. And in you I live, I move, and I have my being, present tense. Now, God, I want to pull what is in my now moment. What is my desire? And pull it out. Say it out loud. What do I desire? What do I desire right now? What is in my heart right now? And begin to acknowledge that. Show yourself some respect, folks, enough. Show yourself enough respect to ask yourself what it is you're wanting and you're desiring. Pull from in that and watch the attraction of God's presence. Pull it and draw it into your life because you deserve it because God loves you. God wants the best for you and all good things flow down from the Father of lights. Hey folks, my time is up. I want you to do me a favor. Go to our website, identitynetwork.net, or you can go to my personal website, which is drjeremylopez.com, D-R, no period, just drjeremylopez.com. There I have all my courses, all my teaching CDs, MP3s as well. We also have those on Identity Network. You need to consider today, folks. Listen to me. Today, if you love this broadcast, you could not imagine what we have involved in our School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. The School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. It's a powerful, powerful course that will realign you, waken you to the things of the spirit realm, watch the Holy Spirit breathe over you within moments, so to say, about the life that you've been given by the Holy Spirit. You will be able to find that life is not so tough, it's not so hard. You don't have to climb a mountain anymore. You can start thinking from the mind of Christ and call in your life what that perfect will is wanting to prophesy to you. Did you know the perfect will of God is prophesying to you right now? And the problem with that is we're not listening. You know why? Because our ears are attentive to what so-and-so in my life told me yesterday. My ears are attentive to wanting to get a cup of coffee on my lunch break. My ears are attentive to can't wait to get off work at 5 o'clock. So your will, I mean, God's perfect will is prophesying to you right now. The problem with us is our ears are not living in the now moment to hear what it is. Are you with me? And then in times of difficulty, we get frantic because we don't know what it is to find the answer to our solutions. Why? Because we have never learned and achieved the art of discipline ourselves to live in the now moment. Get the course today, School of Thought, Visualization, Imagination. Go to identitynetwork.net, order it, or give us a call here at the office, 205-362-7133. 205-362-7133. Please like this on Facebook. Share this. We have thousands and thousands of listeners. Share it with people. Please share it. Pass this along. We've got to get people in the body of Christ and really in the world to be lined up with living in this now moment reality. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.